Shalom Aleichem, our trip through Shas continues in Mishnayot Yevamot, Chapter 8, Mishnah Bet, Mishnah number 2. Now, yesterday we talked about a damage to a male reproductive organs that had issues in terms of the wife eating truma. Now, the Mishnah in number 2 defines, Ezehu Pitzua Doka. What is the case of the Pitzua Doka? What does this term mean in the Torah? Kol Shenifza'u HaBeitzim Shalo. This is when there is a significant injury to his beitzim. Beitzim means eggs. It's a euphemism for the testicles. Va'afilu ahat mehen. Even if one of them is disabled, but it's done in a manner where this man is medically assessed to no longer be able to bear children. Uchot shavcha, and the term that the Torah uses, the Mishnah mentioned yesterday, uchot shavcha, kol shenichrat, when there is a cutting of hagid. And gid, again, is a euphemism for the male part, the ever hazachar, the male organ. The im nishtayer mehatara, and if there is a remainder from above the crown, the widest part of the head, afilu kichuta sara kasher, even a hair's breadth remaining below that point, you know, towards the bottom, then that is still a valid man. Now, men who have such an injury are not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl, a Bas Yisrael, Bas Kohen, Bas Levi, but the Mishnah does explain, Petzua Daka v'chod shofcha mutarin, they are allowed to marry Begiorit u'mishukheret, a woman who converts to Judaism, or a Shivcha who is then freed and is now fully Jewish, even though she was a servant before. Einan asurin me'ela milavoba kahal, but they're not prohibited, these men are not prohibited, except to come in the normal mainstream congregation. Shenemar, as the Torah says, Lo yavo petzua daka chod shafa bekal Hashem, that they cannot marry into the Kal Hashem, meaning the daughter of a regular Yisrael, Levi, or Cohen, but other types of Jews they would still be allowed to marry. In modern times, Baruch Hashem, many of the injuries are actually medically treatable through surgery. So, of course, God forbid this should come up. But if you happen to hear of someone who has this issue, they should consult their local Orthodox rabbi and their local competent urologist. Let's go on to Mishnah Gimel. Ammoni u'Moavi, a man from the nation of Ammon or from Moab, Asurim. They are prohibited from marrying into the Jewish people. The Asuran Isur Olam, and this is a lasting prohibition, meaning even if they converted to Judaism, their children, their grandchildren, cannot marry into the Kahal, the regular children of Yisrael, Cohen, and Levi. Avol Nikevotehen, but the women from Ammon and Moab, Mutarot Yad, they can immediately marry after a legal conversion, a regular Jewish person. This halakha, this legal ruling, is discussed in detail in the Gemara in Yevamot, Daf 77. And the most famous example of this was Ruth, who converted into Judaism and married Boaz. And famously, her grandson is King David. And the Gemara in Yevamot explains that there was some dispute over the legality of the marriage of Ruth and Boaz and her conversion, if that was really something that they should have done. And then they laid down the law. They said, listen, the law is a female from Ammon and Moab could immediately marry into the Jewish nation, but the males cannot. And they explain that the Pasuk states, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 4, that the Ammonites and Moabites cannot join the Jewish nation, even the 10th generation. And then it explains in verse 5, Al Davar Asher Lo Kidmotchem Belechem Uvamayim. They didn't come out to greet you with bread and water, but Derech Mitzaytim Mitzrayim, when you were going up from Mitzrayim. Vasher Sechar Lechet Bilam and Bar, and they also hired Bilam to curse us. Not only did they not greet us as they should have, they're the children, Amon Moav, the children of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. So they're family, they're cousins. Not only do they not greet us, but they tried to curse us. But the Gemara explains, it's normal for men of a different nation, a different tribe, to go and greet and send a delegation to another tribe. It's not normal for the women to go out, you know, in public and the risk of meeting another different nation, a different tribe. So the men should have done it. They weren't hospitable. The Torah explains the reasoning behind it. So the women were allowed immediately. And therefore, the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, the ancestors of King David, was legitimate. The Mishnah continues here, Mitzri v'Adomi, someone from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, or from Edom, from Esav, Eina Mitzorin Ela Ad Shlosh Adorot. They're not forbidden to marry the regular Kahal, the regular mainstream Jewish population, only for three generations. echad zecharim ve'echad nekevod, whether they are men or women. So, for example, an Egyptian converted to Judaism, he could marry another convert, perhaps another Egyptian or a Edomite, and then they'd have a child, that's second generation. They'd marry the child to another second generation convert, and then those children, the third generation, could marry into the regular mainstream population. Rabbi Shimon matir et nekevod miyad. Rabbi Shimon compares this, we'll see, to Ammon and Moab, and allows the women immediately. Amar Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon explains himself, kal v'chomer hadvarim, it's a light too heavy, this matter. Kal v'chomer is a logical inference done by comparing something more strict to something more lenient, as we'll see. He says, ma im b'makom she'asar et zacharim isur olam. Just like in the situation where the Torah prohibits the males to enter the Kahal, the mainstream Jewish population, forever, meaning by Ammon and Moab, hitzer et nekevot miyad, but it allows the women immediately, as we've explained, makom shelo asar et zacharim ela ad shlosh adorot. So we compare this to a more lenient context, such as Mitzri and Adomi, where it's only the first three generations that have an issue. Einodin shenatir et nekevot miyad. Shouldn't it be logical, through the Kal v'chomer, that we would allow the women to join the regular population immediately? Amrulo, they said back to Rabbi Shimon, im halacha nikabel. If you've heard this as a halacha l'moshe Mesinai, as a mesura, as a tradition going way back, then we'll accept it. But if it's ledin, if it's your own personal logic, yesh tshuva, we have an answer to our future logic. Amar lahem, Rabbi Shimon said back, lo ki halacha niyomer. He said, I'm making a logical argument, but I also have this as a halacha that I learned from my own sages. But Bartnura says that at the end, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, so it's the same din for Mitzri and Edom by males or females. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, Mamzerim and the Tinim. The Mamzerim we discussed in chapter 4, it's the product of an illegal marriage, an illegal act of intimacy where the punishment is karet or worse. The Tinim is the famous Givonim who pretended to be foreign tribes so they could convert to Judaism. Asurim, they are prohibited to marry the regular children of Kohen Yisrael Levi. The Isurim Isur Olam, and that's forever. Echad Zacharim, Echad Nekevot, whether or not they are male or female. Now there's a really interesting halacha, it's an interesting gemara in the fourth chapter of Brachot that says, you know, Sanheriv, in ancient times, about 2,800 years ago, moved a lot of people around. There was a lot of, you know, what they call ethnic cleansing and moving populations. Then later the Greeks, the Romans, people were displaced, moved around. So that these a man you find in Mitzrayim, an Egyptian, he might not be the original Egyptians that have this prohibition. He might be something else. So it's only when someone is completely sure that he is a real bona fide ancient Egyptian that the halacha would apply, but a modern Egyptian might not apply at all. It might be really a different tribe with different ancestry. The only time you can be sure, and this is interesting, is if somebody is, you know, you understand, an Amalek. Amalek was the ancient tribe that really hated and went out of their way to attack and murder Jews, even at the cost of their own lives. There are some modern rabbinical sources who say we might not have any biological genetic Amalek in the world anymore, but we certainly have people who are, you know, they have inherited the mantle, the spiritual continuation of Amalek, and that they will hurt themselves, destroy themselves and their children just for a chance to God forbid, harm the Jewish people. So with that distinction in mind, Hashem should, through our Torah and our mitzvot and our prayers and our tzedakah, Hashem should prevent any damage to the Jewish people from any type of Amalek that there is in the world. Yashar koach and be well.